We're back with Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. The late New York City Mayor Ed Koch once asked, "Have you ever lived in the suburbs? It's sterile. It's nothing. It's wasting your life." Well, at least one author disagrees. Michelle Broffman grew up in Whitefish Bay, and she now lives in Maryland, where she teaches at the Johns Hopkins University's Masters in Writing program. Her new book, Bertrand Court, is comprised of 17 interconnected short stories, which are set in a cul-de-sac in suburban D.C. And behind those manicured lawns, picket fences, and minivan doors hides the range of human joys and miseries. Broffman explained to Lake Effect's Mayon Silver why she created the fictional Bertrand Court to peel away the layers of suburbia.
There's so many television shows and movies that focus on the sexier part of D.C., you know, the Capitol or even in the outskirts of CIA or FBI. And there's so much going on out in the suburbs where you feel kind of the reverberations of the power and all the excitement of D.C., but where people are just living their lives. They're teaching and they're lawyers and they work in jobs that are related to the industry, but they're just kind of regular people. And I thought that would be interesting to show a different side of D.C. than is often portrayed in the media. What happens, you know, in the outskirts of D.C. where you get these people who are just, you know, doing everyday jobs, but also where they are exposed to kind of that pulsing power that kind of pulses beneath all the relationships.
And so you have this series of interconnected stories, about 17 stories. How did that come about, getting stories that were interconnected?
Well, I would write one story and then I would think, I'd write a story about a woman who was, you know, suffering from miscarriages. And then I think, well, what is this perspective from the point of view of her husband? And what's the point of view of her baby? And then each story would just kind of open up into another story and another story, because I just didn't think I was done with the characters yet. I wanted to know more.
Well, the book is definitely character driven as opposed to, you know, one full plot coming through. How does that attract you, the character driven narrative?
This book is definitely character driven. I just enjoy, you know, hanging with the character, getting to know them, getting to know who they are, what their trouble is, and then kind of figuring out who they love, who they hate, you know, and all of their relationships to the people that really matter to them the most. And that's just kind of what I like to do.
Well, and an interesting thing is that your characters aren't one-dimensional, because they'll show up in different stories and there'll be a different angle on them. So, you know, why was it important to you to have multiple perspectives on one character?
I think just personally that this whole exercise of writing this book just expanded my heart in a big way, because I think a lot of times when you know the backstory about someone and you can really see them from different points of view, you understand who they are and where they're coming from. And so now even in my everyday life, if I run into a conflict with someone, I'll say, I wonder how their story might look through such and such a person's eyes. So it was just, I mean, that's part of why I love writing, is this ability to kind of continue to look at your characters through different lenses and see people as round and complex and juicy and interesting.
Well, and the book focuses on the Jewish Solansky family. That's one of the main lines of characters, and their in-laws in this suburb. But there's also non-Jewish characters, and you write a lot about the Jewish tradition and culture, but also the intersection of that with the secular life that's around them. How did that come about?
Well, a lot of it really had to do with you were asking me before about the characters, as I would kind of figure out who they were and what their Judaism meant to, you know, to each specific character. And then it grew out of that. So it all had to do with just fleshing out each particular character and seeing who they interacted with and how their Judaism kind of played a role in that.
And so what role does the Jewish life and the Jewish culture play in the book?
Well, it is definitely a part of the book. And for some, it absolutely is. I deal with Midrash in one of the fertility stories. And there's stories about interfaith marriage. And there are quite a few stories that have
Shabbat
to do with
Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah and Jewish summer camp. It comes out a lot. You know?
Yeah. 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 And I guess that's just, those topics are interesting to me, and they're part of my background, and those are some of the lives that I've been exposed to that have been interesting to me. But there are also stories that don't have any Jews in them. And those were really interesting to write when I was looking at a Jewish life from a perspective of someone who's not Jewish. So that was kind of new and interesting when I was writing them.
Well, and there's the intersection of people. You know, I think there was the character of Becca Coopersmith, and you kind of went into her and talked about how you wrote a piece about someone looking at her from the outside and looking at her Jewish life. And then in the next chapter, she's dating someone from Wisconsin, from a small town in Wisconsin. And her husband actually says, you know, can you imagine Becca boiling bratwurst and guzzling beer with the firefighters of Monaco, Wisconsin, who lives in Wisconsin? And so obviously there was probably some irony there because you did live in Wisconsin. But what was that intersection? What was it like writing about the intersections between the Jewish life and tradition and the surrounding environment?
I wanted to, you said it so beautifully. I wanted to look at Becca from all of these different lights. Like, what would it be like for her life, her Jewish, her spirituality? Cause I love Becca Coopersmith. She's just so out there and she's so over the top and she just makes me laugh thinking about her and talking about her. And I just wanted to, it's kind of in keeping with the theme of the book. Like, well, what does that look like to someone who really wants to be Jewish? And what does that look like to someone who, you know, this boyfriend she has who's not Jewish and she feels so her Jewishness and her otherness? And that whole piece of it was just so interesting to me to kind of continue to explore. And the whole thing, like, about who lives in Wisconsin, it's just so funny because I live on the East Coast now and people always say to me, oh, yeah, you're from Minnesota or you're from Michigan, like Milwaukee. I just think people from the East Coast can be very provincial in terms of what their notions of Midwestern life is. And Midwestern life is just vibrant and wonderful and interesting. So I like putting that little dig in there.
Yes, I noticed it. And that was great. You know, and then something else that struck out to me about your writing was, so this Becca Coopersmith character is married to a Jewish man named Adam. And I don't want to give too much away, but in one of the short stories, it could potentially come out that he has, in fact, this sympathetic man has potentially ruined his wife's life by cheating on her. I won't share too much, but to make a long story short, it really drew out for me your use of detail in the book and how you describe things, because there was a passage where Adam and Becca are walking together. You know, they've gone on a date and he has this information he doesn't want to share he's not ready to yet share it. And there's silence. And you write, so they're walking around the neighborhood and you write, they didn't talk until they were facing each other over cups of Häagen-Dazs, licking rum raisin and Java chip off their respective spoons. And that detail, you know, it's a tense situation, but yet there's this detail and you know what flavor ice cream they're eating and you're kind of there. You use that throughout the book, this sort of sense of detail. How did your writing develop like that and what does that mean for you?
Well, I teach creative writing, and one of the things I always tell my students is the more particular, the more universal. And this probably gets back to your other question about Jewish traditions. I find that it's so counterintuitive saying, oh, that's going to be too inside baseball. People aren't going to really understand, or that's too specific, or that's too specific to Judaism or whatever. But I find the more I hone in on those specifics of either my faith, a specific ritual, or specific ice cream flavor, then these larger themes emerge, and it happens every single time. So that's how I get to the bigger ideas, is by really being as very detailed as I possibly can.
Well, and that sort of fits out, you know, in preparing for this interview and talking to you, you know, because it's centered around Bertrand Court. I found this quote by James Joyce, actually, and he wrote a lot about Dublin, about the city of Dublin, and someone asked him why he always wrote about Dublin, and he said, for myself, I always write about Dublin because if I can get to the heart of Dublin, I can get to the heart of all the cities in the world. In the particular is contained the universal. And it seems like your writing is a lot like that as well.
And I've been quoting Joyce all these years. Didn't even know it.
Wow, yeah.
It just got to be one of those one of those phrases we all use. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I'm saying. He couldn't have said it better.
That's fantastic. Well, and, you know, it's really an experience going through these stories and getting aware of the characters. What would you like readers to come away with when they finish reading your book?
Well, you asked about Bertrand Court and that why Bertrand Court, why a cul-de-sac. And a poet friend of mine said something so beautiful. And he said, oh, Bertrand Court is a cul-de-sac. And we're all cul-de-sacs because we have these very disparate pieces of ourselves, like internally. We all have these internal cul-de-sacs. We have the ugly part and the beautiful part and the stingy and the generous. And that's how people are. And what I want people to walk away with from seeing all these characters in these different ways is the understanding that we're just really complex. And some of the people who, you know, who can drive you crazy are the people, you know, you end up loving the most. And we have to accept these different pieces of ourselves and of the people we love, our neighbors and our friends and our family.
That's wonderful. Michelle Braffman, thanks for coming on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for having me.
Author and Milwaukee native Michelle Braffman's newest book is a set of linked short stories called Bertrand Court. She'll speak about it at the Harry and Rose Sampson Family Jewish Community Center on Sunday at 4 p.m. There is more information, as always, on WUWM.com.